We have people coming into our life who are absolutely fantastic. And these people are exciting and interesting. But these people have not learned yet to experience who they really are. This is Herbert L. Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing with Instant Illumination. Now, these people who come into our life and say, "Oh, Herb, will you help me? Oh, Herb, will the University of Healing heal me? Oh, Herb, I'd like to have a new me so that I can enjoy life more completely. I'd like to be more wonderful." And I say to them, if you're going to be here at the university, you're going to have to pay attention to what I tell you, because I am going to be a jerk, and I'm going to be a terrible person a great deal of the time as far as you're concerned, because I am challenging you to change your thinking and put positive thinking about yourself. Okay, Sylvia, I am up on stage, and I'm before a large audience. And I say to the audience, my friends, I am going to bring you the most despicable, the most heinous, the most terrible being on the face of the earth. You're going to look at this person, you're going to say, wow, how anything can be so bad and still walk around, I wonder. And you're going to look at this person. Now, I want you to look at this person, and I want you to see through that. And I want you to see what you see. Who are you? I want you to plant your image in this person. Now, what is your image? Is your image an image of being pure, beautiful, having integrity, being wonderful in every way? If that's your image, then that's how you should see him, no matter how terrible he looks. When my dog comes running in from the dirty mud, and I look at him and I say, Rex, shake off. Yes, don't I? And so Rex shakes off, and in a few moments, he's clean as a whistle. But if I looked at his dirty body, I'd say, my God, I got to give him a bath, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to... No, I looked at his purity. He comes in from outdoors constantly with all sorts of things, and then he shakes off, and I don't know where they go. I don't know where the dirt goes or anything else. It's just gone and disappeared. It is completely out of mind and out of sight. Now, I'm bringing this man on stage for you to look at. And you look at this terrible Dorian Gray, you know, with terrible lesions all over his face and over his arms and over everything you can see. And he's got disheveled clothing on. He is just an ugly, ugly creature who makes you want to barf, you know. And it's really quite something. And when you look at him, what do you see? Now, if you can look at him, and you can see a beautiful being who you are, then you are master of yourself. If you look at him and see the appearances, then he is master of you. The world is master of you. Now, for too long, we've allowed the world to be master of us. And then we have complained that things are not the way we want them. Well, let's open our eyes and begin to see beauty, harmony, peace, love, joy, all that is good, and begin to recognize that we are the master. Okay, now, I'm going to bring this man out. Here he comes. Well, John, how are you today? And he vomits in front of you, and he barfs, and it's terrible, you know, utterly disgusting. And so I said, John, you have had a wonderful day today, haven't you? Everything is going your way, hasn't it? Yeah. And on and on. And so then I say, thank you for visiting us, John. Goodbye. And so John leaves. And I say, all right, now, how many of you in the audience saw John as a despicable being? Please raise your hand. So, honestly, most of the audience raises their hand. Okay, now, put your hand down. How many of you have seen John as you are, the type of person you are, the beautiful being you are? Did you look through him past those illusions that were there, those appearances that didn't mean a thing? Did you? And did you see the beautiful, fantastic you in him? Now, I'm going to bring John back, and I want you to look at him, and I want you to look at him again, and let's see if you can see how beautiful you are in him. John, would you come out here? Sherb! And he comes prancing out there, one of the most handsome men in the universe. My goodness, you look at him and you say, wow, what was he doing? He was an actor. He was acting. It wasn't the real John. He was just putting on a show. And I fell for it. I fell for the show. Now, he looks so handsome. All the girls in the audience go, oh, John, you know. A moment before, they would have said, I have nothing to do with John. I don't want him in my world. I don't want my family to see him. I don't want to see him myself. But you see, when we believe in appearances, we let those appearances claim us and control us and own us. And when those appearances claim us and own us and control us, what happens? We're not master of ourselves. We're limited. We're creatures of whatever race consciousness is. And what is race consciousness? Race consciousness is the appearances. You can say, is the appearances. Race consciousness is, as a concept by itself, is the appearances. And is the appearance. Now, what is the appearance? What is the appearance that you will have in your life? You will have whatever it is you see in your heart. And how could all those people see that ugly man out there and then moments later see a perfect man? Now, the man was the same man. He was merely an actor putting on a show of being an ugly, despicable man. And then he came out the next time, and he's still an actor. But he's putting on the show of being a most desirable, wonderful, beautiful man. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we are not master of our thinking, master of our world of illusion, then we're going to have all sorts of illusions, such as unhappiness. We're going to have the illusion of lack. We're going to have the illusion of poor relationships. If you looked at your wife every moment that you are in her presence and said, sweetheart, I just adore you. I just love the way you look and the way you act and the way you are. You are the most super woman, the most beautiful woman in the world. Just say that all the time. Whether she was or was not by appearances, she soon would be, because that's how you're creating her. And if the wife would look at her husband and say, I've got the most fantastic man in the world, and you know, all of you know, that some women are the most ignorant people on earth, choosing the ugliest husband in the world, who is the most loving, gentle, kind, and beautiful being in the world, because that's how she sees him. She sees him the way she creates him. The rest of the world looks at him as an appearance. And he's still a nice person, but he's just a short, stubby character that would not appeal to most people out looking for a husband. But this woman looked through that and saw the beauty of the man. And she married him, and she was married for life. Not by needing, musting, or doing it. You know, she was married for life because they loved each other compassionately. Compassionately. Ariel and Will Durant probably were a couple like that. They had everything in common. They loved to write history. They loved to read history. They loved to work together. They loved to do things together. They loved to gourmet cook together. They loved to do all these things. And they loved to sleep together. They loved to do all these things. You know. And what a marvelous man. And they enjoyed each other's company. They had their joy was to spend time with each other. And their books. Now, what a wonderful way to live. Now, have you ever seen a married couple like that? That's because you're not looking right. But if you want to, you can see every married couple on the face of the earth with the ideal marriage. And the ideal marriage is not harmony of figures together, but beauty of souls together. And the beauty of souls together see the harmony of figure. You understand that?
Yeah.
The beauty of souls see the harmony of figure. Some people in the audience saw that handsome man because they were so well endowed with their own belief and understanding that everything in the world is beautiful, and they looked at him and they couldn't see him as an ugly, despicable person. They saw him as a very exquisite man, just like they were as a man or a woman. They saw him exquisite. And Most of them didn't, because that's not their practice. Most of the world seems to be predicated upon appearances. And you know that. In fact, you are predicated upon appearances. I work with you day after day after day to get you predicated upon your own inner belief and see with your pure eyes and not look at appearances and judge by appearances. And I said, don't judge him. You're judging. And I said, don't be possessed by what you see and let go. Don't be touched by it. And you touch. And I think to myself, goodness, this is going to be a long job. But as for me, I see you perfect. And I see you doing it right now. Now, as for you, when you see yourself perfect and see yourself doing it right now, then you'll be doing it. I cannot do it for you. I cannot heal you. I cannot uplift you. I can only catalyze you into the recognition of your own original purity and integrity. Do you think a little child looks at another being and judges them as they're pretty or not pretty, or as they're nice or not nice or anything? The little child looks at other people just like it looks at itself. And the little child expects everybody in his world to be exactly what he is. You understand that? Whatever the little child believes about himself. Well, I told you this time and again. I said, I cannot conceive how one being on the face of the earth cannot delight and appreciate me. Because I like me. Now you say, boy, what a big nose that is, Jim. No, that's it. I am just a little child in my awareness with my original purity and integrity and just having a ball. And so I look upon the world and I see them struggling for what they have already inside of them. They're struggling to see the world pure, beautiful, and good, and it's already in them. But they want to listen to the clarion call of the world outside of them that says to them there's war, there's anger, there's pestilence, there's illness, you know. And when our brain becomes pure, oh God, if we could just get some scouring powder and go through our brain, clean it up. But no, when our brain becomes pure, then our original purity and integrity, which is what we always have, can come through our brain. But so long as our brain has all the filters in it that it has, put there by a world of conditions and what have you, then that's what we're going to see through. I have said to you zillions and jillions of times, you are a diamond. And your diamond has a layer of crud on it, a layer of dirt and mud and what have you, like the diamonds in the mine do. And it takes the eye of a master to look at the diamond in the mine and take it out and say, this is a diamond. It's so muddy and it's so miserable. But he knows. He can see right past that. Do you understand? He can see right past that outer coating. And he takes it back and he says, how about this one? Wow! Woo-hoo! And they take it and then they bring it out. And then they facet it and clean it and polish it, and it becomes a very royal stone. And that's how we are. We are in the process right now of cleaning and faceting our minds so that they will be the reflector of our original purity and integrity, of our pure, wonderful minds, of our ideal self. It's fantastic. Are you ready for something like that? Yes, yeah, sure, I'm ready for it. But no, you're not. You're not ready until you can give up judging. If I tell you San Francisco is north of San Diego, you say, well, of course. I mean, any fool knows that. But if I tell you San Diego is north of San Francisco, you'll say, well, Herb, I think you aren't paying attention to the geography books. You're not paying attention to the maps. I mean, it's right there. It says that. Well, hey, that's an illusion. That's an illusion. It could be easy for me to say, San Diego, you now have a new name. Your name is Santa Rosa. And Santa Rosa, you now have a new name. Your name is San Diego. You say, yeah, but that's not real. I said, San Diego is north of San Francisco. And so now Santa Rosa, which was Santa Rosa, is now San Diego, and it's north of San Francisco. You know that. Okay? And Santa Rosa is south of San Francisco. And people say, well, it can be done. But you see, it's illusions. And they're illusions that are all man-created. And it's wonderful, isn't it? I tell you. When you stop and think, we are our original purity and integrity. And we are looking from the diamond eyes within us, sparkling from the mind, the universal consciousness that is within us, the oneness that's within us, using our brain as a channel to express and to see the world. Because you don't see the world through your eyes, you see it through your brain. Your brain interprets everything you do. Your ears, they just interpret the sound waves coming to it. They don't hear, John is here. They don't hear that. They hear, whooshu, 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 and then they interpret it as John is here. And see, all of you have human brains, and so you interpret the same thing. But dogs, they don't interpret that way. Dogs have a different type of a mentality. They haven't gone to school. That is to elementary school and upper school. And they don't know, please come here, Rex. I say, Rex, come. And the please come here makes him feel that I'm happy about him and that I'm good about him. He feels the vibrations are good, but he doesn't understand please. He understands come because I taught him. When I say come, he comes. When I say Rex, it gets his attention. Now, we have six dogs laying here, and I say, Button, come. And so they all come. Because, see, they're not paying attention. They just hear the word come, and they think that word means for them to come. And that's good. But it's all an illusion, isn't it? All an illusion. When we purify our brain, now, this is not valuable for us to do, but if we were to take a dog, and if we were to put on a dog certain chips which would give the dog fantastic intelligence, like they can do for a man, you know, and then we would say, Rex, what do you think of the situation in Russia today? He'd say, Dad, all is in divine order. You know that. We don't discuss things that are not harmonious. So my original purity and integrity tells me to only respond to all in divine order. How about that, Dad? And I say, Rex, oh, wow. You're my teacher now. What a wonderful world we live in, isn't it? Think about these things. And as you think about these things, put these causes in motion for yourself and realize that you're the only one who can do it. And if I bring on the stage of your life an ugly being, and you call that being ugly, then that's who you are. Because you can only see what you are anywhere in the world. Remember that now. You can only see anywhere in the world only what you are. You can only see anywhere in the world what you are. And that includes seeing yourself.
Tough.
It's tough. See, we have a rule here. At 20 minutes to 8, everybody's supposed to be here. And if anybody isn't here, they're not included in the OM. And so the rule comes along just fine. Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not. And the group gathers at 20 minutes to 8. But Ingeborg likes to linger. She wants to go to the bathroom last minute. Or she wants to go in her bedroom for the last minute for whatever reason. And she already knows we're out here. She's already standing with us out here. And then she walks away at 20 minutes to 8. I think Ingeborg really should be the princess of Transylvania. Because the princess always comes in late and makes an entrance, you know? And I think that's really what Ingeborg is trying to do. She's trying to make an entrance. Well, when punctuality is something that I share and teach with you, you say, well, if you share it, why aren't you always here? That's the point. You go ahead whether I am or not. This is what I share and teach with you. And if you don't get the message, then you don't get the benefit of that lesson. This is a school. You're in a school. And that's the wonderful thing about our life. And we all love schools, don't we? Aren't schools wonderful? It's been lovely sharing with you and telling you these beautiful things. I love you. I love you.
I love you.